Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
So when I realized how wicked a person I was, I mean, that's when my heart broke. And that's truly when God showed up and he changed my heart. And that's the moment that the color came back in the room. I mean, it was literally like a light switch went on.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I
are a part of it.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, I'm Meredith Foster. God is all about transforming lives. For Jason Hansen, the arc of transformation runs from a church pew through atheism all the way to walking away from a lucrative career to serve God and love others. Doubts, pain, suffering had led Jason to question his faith. And when the doubts finally tipped the scale, he told his wife, Sally, he was an atheist. That set him on a journey to find truth. This is chapter 57 of Epic, Jason and Sally Hansen's story.
I was 8 years old when my mom passed away, and I have two brothers and a sister, and my dad had a really rough childhood, and then obviously a tough life as a young adult with losing his wife and having four young children. And so he didn't handle it very well and became an alcoholic and struggled in a lot of ways. Eventually, he kind of left the family, and we were left to be adopted or go to foster care. And fortunately, I was taken in by my aunt and uncle. And that's when I first started going to church. You know, I'd been to church, you know, for Easter or Christmas or something, but had never really went to church and didn't know about Jesus and, you know, read the Bible or anything. And, you know, that was like the opportunity where I thought, oh, well, maybe my mom's in heaven. So, you know, I want to be a Christian so I can see my mom again. Hmm. But that's as far as it went. And I really looked down on my dad and others that, you know, struggled with things. You know, I thought I was better than them. And so it wasn't about, you know, being a Christian wasn't about me being transformed. It was about me just being a better person because I was going to make different decisions than other people. And so I lived that way for a long time. You know, it was, 20 plus years. Sally and I got married, started a family, and that's a hard way to live when you think that you're better than others. And I realized that 3 years ago, whenever I started to really think about my life and, you know, what was important and God, I realized I wasn't even sure if God existed, you know, because we're told that everything can be explained by science, that there's no need for God. And that's what I was taught in high school, and that's what I was taught in college. And so between me just wanting to be a better person and making different decisions and looking down on others and hearing that, you know, in the educational system, that led me to decide God didn't exist and became an atheist after being a supposed Christian for 20 plus years and being a lukewarm churchgoer. I became an atheist and, you know, didn't believe God existed. And so that was really a trying period.
Sally, let me just ask you, when you met Jason and dated, were you a believer?
I was. I was a late believer. I didn't become a Christian until I was 21. I didn't go to church either as a young adult or a child. I always had people in my life that would drag me to church with them. Their parents made them go, so they made me go. And that's what happened. I was dating someone whose parents, every time the door was open, we went to church and I was saved at that late age. But I had no one else in my life that went to church, went to college. And my roommate, just by chance, was a believer, was a Christian. She bought me my first Bible. And not soon after that, that's when I met Jason.
And when you met Jason, he was a Christian also?
Yeah. I remember one of our first conversations is, I have to know if you're a Christian because I'm not going to date you because I won't marry you.
Hmm. So you dated, you got married, and in the early part of your marriage, what was faith like for you?
We went to church on Sundays, went to Sunday school, a married couple Sunday school. It was a little small Baptist church. Had our first child after 5 years, and And, you know, we loved our church. It was a great church in Titusville, Florida. And, you know, in my head, I felt like our faith was growing and we had a good relationship at that point. Yeah.
So when did you start to notice a change in your husband and his faith? Do you remember what began to tip you off that something was going on?
One of his coworkers got diagnosed with cancer, and I think that made him reevaluate why all the suffering, why all the pain. There wasn't a significant thing leading up. It was pretty much a snap of your fingers, and it was a change. It kind of woke up that way, I guess.
Wow.
And he didn't share anything with me for a while about what he was going through. He shared it with friends, but with me, he didn't. And I remember just crying and praying on our bedroom floor because I didn't know what was going on.
What was going on, Jason?
A friend got diagnosed with cancer. It was also at the same time, if you remember, about the 21 Christians, I believe, in Egypt that were beheaded on the beach. And they were given the option, if I remember correctly, to denounce Christianity or Jesus, and they didn't. And they were beheaded for it. And so, to me, I was like, I can't do that. I mean, I wasn't going to do it. And so, between that and then the problem of evil and suffering and a few other things, and honestly, me being a lukewarm churchgoer, I mean, I sat in church thinking about, you know, everything but God and everything but how to be a better person and to love others. And, you know, that really wasn't important. It was more about, you know, appearances maybe being better than other people. And people, I'm sure, assumed that, you know, hey, I'm a good person. But on the inside, I wasn't. I mean, you know, sitting in church thinking about money or, you know, lust or greed or, you know, jealousy, envy. You name it, any sin. I mean, it was all in me. And, you know, I thought as long as I don't behave that way on the outside, as long as I don't make those decisions, then I'm okay. But I know now Jesus said, you know, if you think that way, then it's a sin. And, you know, I guess I just always glossed over that and tried to, you know, reconcile that in some way. And obviously it can't be done because, you know, if you're thinking that way on the inside, you know, it's wrong and, you know, you're sinful. But even during that time, I remember thinking about others who weren't Christians, but would, you know, denounce God or do things that, you know, I thought was wrong. And I'd be thinking, well, why doesn't God just come down and smite these people right now? You know, if he exists, why didn't he just do that? And what I didn't realize is that how wicked a person I was, and that if he was going to come down and get rid of sinners, well, that's going to include me too. I mean, he's going to have to, you know, to get rid of me. And I had no idea that that was the case at that point in time.
So she talked about how it was like a snap and there was this change. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was December of 2015. You know, after my mom passed away, we grew up extremely poor at times to the point to where we didn't have electricity, didn't have much food in the house. So I, you know, went through some rough times growing up as a child. And so fast forward to 2015, you know, I'm getting to coach one of the best basketball teams. I am working a sales job, making more money than I ever could have dreamed about making. Everything was going great. You know, I mean, Sally and I had a happy marriage. We were fine. Three boys that were growing and healthy. And so everything seemed to be perfect, you know. And then that's kind of when, in December of 2015, when a friend got sick with cancer, saw the Christians beheaded. And it literally was a Monday night. It was just like a conscious decision. God doesn't exist, so why am I going through the motions? Why am I faking this? And so, yeah, I mean, it was almost like a snap of the fingers. And so, but at the same time, I realized that if God doesn't exist, then nothing really matters. There's no right and wrong. I'm going to be dead in 30 years, and nobody's going to care. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm a good husband, a good father, a good neighbor. Hmm. It doesn't matter.
So did you share that with Sally? How did you find out about that, Sally?
I don't know if I actually gave him an ultimatum, like, you have to tell me what's going on. I just remember crying a lot and not knowing.
Did he seem to you like he was depressed or he was just different?
I don't know if I would use the word depressed necessarily, but at the same time, I'll say there were 2 days that stand out in my head that I honestly didn't know if he would be home when I got back. So it was a tough time.
Because you thought he would leave or because you thought he might take his life?
I didn't know.
Didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. He was that different of a person. He had no hope.
There is no hope without God and Jesus. There just isn't.
And for me, it was such a struggle because I was a new Christian basically when we met, and he has been the leader in our family. In my head, the godly leader in our family. We have 3 boys. And so that change in him was so drastic. It was devastating to me. But I had to still be mom and a good wife.
Jason had decided God didn't exist. Sally did the only thing she knew to do, and that was to pray. Jason set out on a journey to find out what is really true. Part 2 of their story is coming up on Epic. And now part 2 of Jason and Sally Hansen's story. So did you have a conversation? Were you acknowledged?
We did eventually, but I guess I struggled with how to start that conversation or what to even say.
It was a good 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. And eventually, you know, we did talk and I explained everything. And, you know, of course she was like, what are you talking about? But I was honest and told her exactly what I thought. And so I decided I was going to at least search for truth. You know, so if God doesn't exist and there is no hope there, then at least what is true? And so I began doing a lot of research and studying science, history, archaeology to figure out, okay, well, what is true? And so that led me to, you know, or led me on a journey to find out a lot of information and knowledge that I hadn't been exposed to before.
So you got on the internet and started searching other religions?
Well, fortunately, my sales job, I had to get a certain amount of work done, and then I could, you know, do whatever else I needed to do outside of that. So I would get the work done that I needed to, but then after that, I would spend time reading online or books, and then also listening to podcasts of different, you know, philosophers, scientists, and doing a lot of research, and really, you know, not necessarily believing in the God of the Bible, but what I learned was, we can't be here without something behind all this. You know, when atheist scientists are using words like impossible, miracle, can't explain how or why, that's not what I was taught in high school and college. I was taught that they had all the answers, that they could explain it very easily. And I learned that that's not the case. So that kind of opened my mind up. Okay, well, if that's correct, then maybe God does exist. You know, maybe there is a God there. That doesn't necessarily mean the God of the Bible, but something behind why we're here, how we got here.
So how long did that season of searching go on?
Probably a good 3 to 4 months of really doing a lot of research to where I was studying anywhere from 10 to 14 to 16 hours a day.
You were on an intense search.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to find an answer.
Yes.
What did you do in that 3 to 4 months?
After he disclosed everything and what was going on, I had a, I don't want to say a plan to prayer, but I knew what I would to pray for God, mm-hmm. instead of just crying help. I knew now that I was going to pray for his salvation. To find the answers, he had to find them himself. He had to take that journey. I didn't know what would lead, you know, at the end of the journey, what that was going to look like. But during that time, it was extremely stressful because literally he got home from work and listened to a podcast. He was very disconnected from all of us. And we kind of had to give him that space. Mm-hmm.
Could you ever have imagined that you would be praying for your husband's salvation?
No, not at all. Because like I said, he was our spiritual leader in our mm-hmm. home. I looked to him for, he was kind of my meter of, okay, is this right or is this wrong? And that was my my line. I knew to go to him and ask.
But you were learning how to go to God now in a whole different way. What was that like for you?
It was scary at first because I had a partner for 20 years that was always there for me for everything. I mean, basically for all my needs on earth. But then he was kind of gone from that. So I think he and I don't have a ton of conversations about that time anymore. But I think I had to grow probably more than him at that point because I lost everything in my head. That's how I felt. So all I did have was God and these three little boys looking at me.
And did you find God show up for you?
Absolutely. Daily. I wouldn't have made it and still loved him if I didn't have God, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I will say one thing. She had mentioned that she thought I might be depressed. And I had several good friends and people that I worked with that thought the same thing. They thought I was depressed and I might take my life or something. And that was not the case. But I just realized that without God and with hope of salvation through Jesus, there really is no hope and nothing matters. And so that's a very humbling and frightening thought. So I just, went through that time as an atheist of that's how life is. And so I realized that that was going to be a very dreary time, however long, the rest of my life lasted.
Right, dreary existence.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're going to be alive.
Which is a depressing thought.
Yes.
So 3 to 4 months in that searching phase, did you find anything while you were searching that you felt like you could hang on to and this could be my new philosophy of life?
No. After really starting with science and just doing a lot of research and reading and listening to different things, coming to the conclusion that we can't be here without something, then that led me into, okay, well, what do we have any answers? Where can I find some answers? So I did some research on other religions. I did some, research into history and archaeology. And really what happened is I came back full circle and realized that the only thing that makes sense is Christianity. It's the only thing to explain reality. And, the problem of evil and suffering only makes sense within Christianity. But even then, I still wasn't necessarily a believer and wasn't a Christian and didn't realize the need for salvation, other than I hope it's true so that way you can go to heaven and all these other things. But I still didn't have that need. And so after coming to the realization that God has to exist, there has to be some sort of God out there, it really came down to I realized how wicked a person I was. And so those same people that I was looked down on, for 20 plus years, I realized I was just like them.
Just like your dad?
Yes. I was just like my dad. And my dad had a rough time and had a rough life. And I wish that I could go back now and tell him I'm sorry and try to build a better relationship with him. Because I despise my dad. And if I'd went through what he did, I don't know what if it happened to me. So when I realized how wicked a person I was, when I didn't treat Sally like I should have, when I looked down on other people, that's when my heart broke. And that's truly when God showed up and he changed my heart. And I had love for people that I didn't have before. And I had a desire to build relationships with anybody because that's what we're called to do. And that's the moment that the color came back in the room. The sun was out. It was literally like a light switch went on. Changed my heart, and I could see things that I never saw before. And I had a desire to read the Bible. And when I did, it was like words jumped off the page. I know I'm not the only person, but sometimes reading the Bible can be like a chore. But I had a desire to read the Bible and know what God was trying to communicate with us. And it was like verses and words jumped off the page and really had an impact on me.
It felt personal.
Yeah.
Did that realization happen gradually, or is there a moment that you can look back on and you suddenly knew what you knew?
It was, the realization that God has to exist was gradual. The realization that I needed Jesus to be my Savior was instant. It was a Saturday morning, and we had a conversation, Sally and I did, in the bedroom, and I still was holding on to, I'm a better person than other people. And for whatever reason, I finally realized that I'm not, and that I'm a wicked person, and that I need a Savior, and the only hope that I have is in Jesus. And that's when it changed.
Were you present for that realization?
She was in the other room. We had just finished talking about all these issues, and I didn't really say anything to her about it, but I'm sure, and we've not talked about it, but I'm sure she could just see a difference in me immediately.
Mm-hmm. In that conversation, I believe I was crying again, because it comes to a point where you can pray for the person, but frustration sets in, mm-hmm. and I was at that point.
I think I just walked out and I hugged her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just like walked out of the bedroom and everything's been different ever since then.
Like night and day, huh?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, God changed me. And so one of the Bible verses that has really stuck out since then is, you know, when Jesus says, you know, the greatest commandment is to love God and second is to love others. And so that's really what I've tried to do since then.
And that really translated into some pretty big changes in your life. I mean, once you decided you believed, mm-hmm. did you take stock? How did that series of events happen?
Oh, it was still a process, but I mean, like the next week, there was a guy at work that I just absolutely despised and could not stand because I looked down on him and thought, you know, he does a bunch of stuff that's wrong. And, you know, the next week, as soon as I could, I walked straight up to him, shook his hand, told him I was sorry for being a jerk and that I loved him and that if I could help him at work or with anything else that I would. And, you know, he kind of looked at me like, what in the world are you talking about? And so, but there's been several instances like that.
The biggest change though for us was that you found your purpose.
Yeah. Well, I had a passion to run an athletic apparel company for 20 years and never had acted on it. And so I decided there's a reason why I have that passion and that I was going to do that to serve God and to love others. And so I started an athletic apparel company to do just that. And through that, we have been able to share our story and our faith. And I've been able to witness to more people in the last couple years than I did in 20 plus years of being a lukewarm churchgoer.
Because the roots of that company really are in that whole
right
transformation of your faith.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it would never have happened had you not had that experience.
No.
No. Wasn't even on the radar. Never had a conversation about it in our 20 years of marriage.
About the athletic apparel company?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Right.
And yet it was something you'd kind of been dreaming about all that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like our own children, we tell them, find what you're passionate about mm-hmm. and use it to serve God. We do sell athletic apparel, but it's a mission field for us. I truly look at it that way. And that's, you know, we are designed to serve God and to love others. So let's find what we're good at, what we're equipped to do, and let's do it.
Initially, though, you started it on the side, I assume, because you had your lucrative sales job. Seriously,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was making $10 an hour as a teacher's assistant.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, yeah, I had a good sales job, and we just, you know, did the apparel on the side. But, you know, within about 5 or 6 months, we started doing that full time and I walked away from my sales job. So, you know, it was a big leap of faith to do that because, you know, we weren't sure if we were really going to be successful. We weren't sure, you know, how we were going to pay our bills.
But we were building a brand new home that had just got completed. It was very scary financially, but honestly, I felt no stress or there was no strain on our marriage during any of that. The kids didn't even have a clue, like they were fine. So it's affirmed at that time, almost on a daily basis by God, that he's got it.
It's so nice to have that kind of confirmation along the way, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because it keeps you going.
Yep.
Well, I mean, and if you're worried about how much money you're going to make, then you're not going to make that decision. And so I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it as, I have this passion. I'm going to use that passion to serve God. I'm not going to worry about how much money we make with it. We'll have to make other decisions based on money possibly. But if we do this to serve God, then everything else will be fine. And so we didn't take a paycheck from the company for 23 months.
Wow.
And, you know, my wife was, when we started, was a part-time teacher. So, but we've been just fine and been able to do exactly what we felt like God wanted us to do.
It's fascinating to hear about the leap of faith that Jason and Sally took with their athletic apparel company. It's called Train, especially in light of where Jason was just a few years ago, unable to find enough faith to even believe God exists. By the way, if you struggle with doubts, Jason wants you to know it's okay. And looking back, he says he felt guilty for questioning the stories in the Bible, and he was afraid of what he might find if he looked into those questions. Now he realizes nearly every person in the Bible dealt with doubt. We all do. Jason has found that if you take those doubts and questions to God, he is faithful to provide the answers you need. Thanks to Jason and Sally for sharing their story. Thanks also to the team that makes Epic possible. Jason Rackow and Ted Ross handle production. Stefan Johnson for our theme music. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.